Somebody say, why church? For the next few weeks, I'm going to ask you, if you're a part of Daystar, to really make a strong commitment to be in the house. Because there was so much in these 19 pages, I was like, even this morning going, man, I wish that was on the third page and not the 18th page. Because I want people to hear it like today. And God said, no, give it as I've given it to you. And so for the next few weeks, make it like a commitment to be in the house and come early for prayer at 9:15. And let's let God really speak to us about why he put this in my heart for me, because I always take it for me, and for you today. Take your Bibles, your phones, or whatever, and I want you so engaged, and keep standing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That's toward the end. Come on. That's toward the end of the New Testament, right before Colossians. I love the book of Ephesians. Anybody love the book of Ephesians? I would actually love to do a whole series on just the book of Ephesians. But we're talking about the church, and I want you to really look at this scripture, guys. And I'm going to talk really strong like a father, pastor. If I get too strong for you, just know it's burning in me. If I say something wrong, just understand I'm human. And hear it in the context, because I have been pregnant with this series and with this word, not just for y'all, but I have to be honest, for the world, for all of America. I think America needs to hear what I'm about to say from the Lord more than ever before. But we've got to kind of start on the first step today. So bear with me as we just start climbing the stairs, maybe 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks in this series. But Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Listen to this. To me, this is the Apostle Paul writing, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a murderer of Christians, and God showed up and changed his life. So don't tell me God can't save anybody. Don't tell me you've done something so bad that God can't use you. This man would drag Christians out of their home with their children and kill them. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, and he was a brilliant man, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Watch this. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery. Somebody say mystery. What's this mystery? Hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that the mystery is the gospel, that even the angels long to know about it. The scripture says that. So that through the, and I wish I would have highlighted that in yellow. Look at that. Through the what? Talk to me. Come on, I really want y'all to talk to me. If you're a guest today, I can't wait to meet you. I'm going to go to the back door and love to meet you. But I'm talking to Daystar people right here when I say respond. Through the what? Somebody say the church. So this mystery, what's going on and what's God's plan? Because in verse 9, he said it was a plan. God's plan. The plan for what? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That means the many-sided, the various wisdom, many different sides, wisdom of God, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. How many knows we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? Paul didn't say, I want to make the mystery through the church, the mystery of the gospel known to the authorities in the earth, all the kings and the presidents and the ambassadors and all those. He said, no, I go higher when I deal with things. Pastor Andrew's message was powerful last week. I go higher. That through the church, heaven and hell will know. You know, if hell doesn't know about Daystar, we're doing something wrong. And what I mean by Daystar is not Daystar the church. If hell doesn't know about this house and what we're about, then we may not be preaching the gospel and maybe doing something that God didn't intend. But it's through us. Somebody say, through me. It's not, when it says the church, it's not a building. If you are a believer, you are the church. And as we move in this series, I want you to think of it multidimensional, especially in two ways. The church, meaning us as a corporate house here in Tuscaloosa, Northport, but also you are the church. Wherever you work, the church is walking in. That's why there's no such thing as I work a secular job. Pastor, I work a secular job. Secular means the absence of God. So wherever I go, God is. If you work at Mercedes, be of Goodrich. If you're a student at the university, it's not secular the moment you walk in the classroom. You are Christ in the earth, God, walking into these places. And I don't say this arrogantly, but I believe because the power of God in my life, I'm not perfect, that when I walk into a room, hell backs up. And hell goes, oh no, Scott's coming. And I literally had that happen at the Alabama basketball game last night to the gentleman who calls the Alabama basketball on the radio, who's walked through a lot of sickness. Some of you know Chris. That God, we are agents in the earth. We are the church. And it says the purpose of the church is to make the heavenlies know who God is in his plan of salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, come on, ask him. Come on, let's just open. Let's lift up our voice. We did that last week and I love it. Say, God, just speak to me today. Even if you're a guest today, if this is your first time being here, you know, don't be a guest. Say, God, speak to me. God, speak to us today through your word. Speak to our heart.
Speak to our heart.
Convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment in areas of our life. Lord, bring understanding about the church. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can you give him your praise for just a minute? Just your thanks, your thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to take my time and I'll stop in a few minutes. That's a good thing about it not just being one sermon. I'm not trying to get to the end. Why church? I kept trying to think of a title with this. I was talking with Pastor Shannon, and I first was going to call it Church Why. But people might not understand that title, and we just basically, I said, I wanted to say what's in my heart. Why church? What? First of all, please remember this. Church, the church, was not man's idea. The church was God's idea. When the early church started in the book of Acts, right? When Peter got up and preached and 3,000 people got saved, and it wasn't some feel-good message. He actually preached, repent and turn your heart to God. Where has that preaching gone? You'll have a church of about 20 people if you keep preaching that. Although it's actually the message that needs to be preached. And I'll go back on what I just said. I actually believe the church will be filled. So why church? What? Why did God create? And please know that I honor the church. I never speak against the church. I went on Facebook last night, and there people were making jokes about apostles and bishops and all this thing on Facebook. And it was about 11 o'clock last night, and I wanted to comment, but I didn't take the bait. Because people were pastors on this thread joking about, you know, and what they were saying, some of it was true, but they don't even realize they're devouring themselves. You know, I don't even like the church hurt thing on Facebook. The joking about church hurt. Ooh, help me, Jesus. It's not something to joke about, number one. Number two, you better be careful talking about the thing Jesus gave himself up for. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife. What's the next line? As Christ or Jesus loves the... Can I tell you? in the next part, and gave himself up, died for. And so when it comes to bashing the church, bashing pastors, you and I don't have a right for that. And all we're doing is feeding the lost of why they never want to go to church, because God's own people are making fun of themselves. Right, Jennifer? And I got it sick to my stomach last night, but I didn't take the bait, because the Bible says there's no need to talk to fools. There comes a time to speak, and if you know it's not going to be received, keep your mouth shut. You have to know who your audience is, because if you take that bait, oh goodness. Truth is the new hate speech, even in the church. So it's clear, he says, love your wives as I love the church. So my point is, not just to husbands, because husbands, you are the redeemer of the marriage, which means your wife can act a fool and you can't leave her. That's my counseling session for today. Men are not allowed to leave their husband because she acting a fool. I mean, leave their wife, sorry. That's another church. Men are not allowed to leave your wife. And ladies, please don't take offense to that, because it's a big point. It means I have no reason why God loves me. We are the bride. We are the wife. There's no reason why Jesus should still love me and not have filed divorce papers. But he can't. He's bound by his own love and word. He doesn't want to leave me even when I make major mistakes. Because it's clear that when he says, husbands, love your wife as I love the church, that is a incredible, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, I'll go ahead and say the word, supernatural love. It's not a natural, it's a supernatural love. That I'll be honest, I'm not sure we understand at times God's supernatural love that really should reside and be activated and flow through every person, including me. So why the church? Why did God create the church? Because I'll say it again, the church, this thing, first of all, I'm going to explain in just a minute. This thing that we're here today for is not the church. And guys, when we grab this series and what's happening, I just feel like we're on the verge because of prayer. Houses of prayer, please go Friday night. Let's take, we had 160. Let's take at least a 200 plus people this Friday night. It's this Friday night. Go, don't tell the devil to shut up about being awkward. Go and watch what God does. But I really believe and know we're on the verge of something, because I believe we're in the flow of what God is saying the church to be. Could it be we are way off in America? And I believe the more religious of a territory you live in, like Alabama, when I say religious, I'm talking man-made traditions. Even people that mean well. Could it be we are so off target in the American church? This is the reason why other nations, third world countries, are seeing miracles and we're not. So what is the purpose of the church? Why did God create this thing called the church? Because if I was God, it's a headache. If I was God, I like, we could have done this a lot easier, right, God? Because sometimes the church is battling so much with each other, we're not even battling the one who needs to be battled, and that's not flesh and blood, but the enemy and principalities. Could it be we're so distracted by the gnats and the flies of this world that we're really missing it? Can I ask you a question? And I started to bring the mic around to people, but I won't because of times. because I really want to get free in this series. Why did we come here today? Why are you at church? Why did some of y'all get so dressed up and look so good? And come. For you that are members of Daystar, why? Why did you even tithe today and give, for you that are members? Why did you tithe? Selah. I don't know about you, and this is my nature and that I kind of get real strong about. I never just want to keep doing something because somebody said it was the right thing to do. I'm not talking about not listening to authority, and but I never want to keep doing something because they did it back then. 20 years ago, my grandmother, and I'm not disrespecting our elders. But there comes a time that your frustration may lead to your breakthrough. There comes a time when you stop and go, why are we not seeing miracles in the church? One of our dogs died this week. Yeah, Lovey. Lovey, for you that know Lovey, she's our oldest, 14 years old. Christy came downstairs and she was just laying there, boom, not breathing. Isaiah had called wanting money at 1:30 in the morning. He hasn't wanted much money. He was needing it for something special. And so it woke Christy up, and because he's on California time, and she went downstairs and Lovey was there. Christy would start crying, and she told Isaiah, I think Lovey's died, and oh my goodness, and she even went and gave him the money online and then came back to Lovey and started rubbing her and speaking over her and praying, and all of a sudden Lovey went, and she started breathing again. My point is, we're not resurrecting humans yet, but we are resurrecting dogs. Tell somebody we're getting there. And Lovey is alive today. Come on, somebody, give Jesus some praise. I told baby, I said, hey, it's a start. We'll start resurrecting dogs, then we'll lead to humans. Come on, amen, resurrection power. But I'm ready to see miracles. Miracles have not passed away. But why did God create the church? What is this idea of the church? We live in a time, and please go back and listen to this on Facebook and share the message. Even now, go on your Facebook. I give you permission and share this message. Because I believe so many, there were probably times in my life that I might have needed to hear this even as a pastor in 31 years. But we live in a time when people go to a building on Sunday mornings and they attend an hour or a two-hour service depending on what that church does and that pastor does, and we call ourselves members of the church. But are we? When I say the church, for a minute here, let's take out Daystar. Coming to church on a Sunday once a week doesn't mean you're part of the church. In fact, many, many go to church but do not belong to a church. Many go to a church on Sunday and do their penance, but are they part of not only this local church that God named Daystar, but they don't really belong to Daystar. And coming every Sunday to a church building doesn't make you the church. And I'll tell you, a lot of people want to belong to a church. And we're going to talk about that somewhere the next couple weeks, because I don't ever want to go in a place that I don't feel like I belong. Or I like somehow have to fit into a certain crowd or be a certain color or whatever. I ain't going to play that in that sandbox. Because everybody likes to feel like they belong. Many go to church but do not belong to one. And that's really not shocking to me, and I believe to most of you in this room. Y'all just know Daystar. I love y'all. I think y'all are the greatest people for Christy and I to serve as pastors. I honor you and I talk about you everywhere I go around the world. But this is not a shock, because in America, it's perfectly normal. It's what we've grown up with, going to a church. We go to church. I go to such and such church. But it doesn't mean we necessarily belong to one. It's kind of like these dudes that will date somebody for 30 years and never marry them. They'll never put a ring on it. They don't want full commitment in the relationship. Because you know, once you put the ring on it, there's a higher level of responsibility. Have you ever read the New Testament and thought, man, they talk really different about things than we do in America about the church? Maybe you haven't, because maybe you kind of like mentally separated. That was Jesus times, that was Bible days, and this is nowadays. But I challenge you, go read the New Testament about the church. And I really think when you read it, it kind of makes the church that we've created the last 30 years not so right. Because I'm not talking about culture, biblical days, dress, and certain things they did. I'm talking about the guts of what the church did. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul? He was a single man, by the way, never got married. Coming up to Peter and saying, "Hey, Pete, what church do you go to now?" "Oh, man, I'm down here at First Tuscaloosa Church." "Really?" "Yeah, it's awesome. They have great music. They have a great kids program for my kids. And they really have what I want." "Well, that's cool, because, you know, I'm kind of at a church down here that it's not satisfying me or feeding me. It's not really what I want. Sometimes it's this and that, and it gets too loud. Can I come and check out your church next Sunday, Pete?" "Yeah, man, you could come. I think you'll love it. But one thing, I'm not going to be there because my kids have a soccer game. So you'll have to come, maybe the next week." "Okay, cool. That's what I want to do. I'll come and check it out next week. And oh, by the way, do y'all have a singles ministry? Because I'm wanting a church with a singles ministry." Now, does that type of language sound goofy to y'all? For the New Testament? Y'all ain't talking to me at all. I'm speaking like I'm talking to leaders today. Is that all right? That language almost sounds like goofy. What church do you go to? Hey, what church do y'all go to? Yeah. Where are you going to church now? "Well, I'm going over here because they have something for me." I'm going over here because they do a certain style of music that I like. Well, I'm going to get back to my notes because some of y'all looking at me like when they stoned the woman. I'm glad our parking lot is paved. Turn and tell somebody, let him mess with you in this series. Come on, let the Holy Spirit mess with you. I think we, looking at Scripture, somebody say Scripture. The church that we have created, this westernized, Americanized, and please, I'm not bashing anybody. I've been a part of it my whole life. Is not even remotely close to what God intended the church to be. Come on, a big amen. And that's why I decided to do this series for us. I know people are watching online. God bless you and those that will watch it. But let me just tell you, I'm talking to you as your pastor today and the next couple weeks. I heard, I forgot the author, I read his book a while back, but he made a statement. What if God took away from the church everything he said never to do? What would be left? Now, I know some of you debaters in this room would love to debate with me on this, and I'll take it. About, well, you know, church is this way because of the wonderful. No. I get it. I can argue with you and I can agree with you, but you're missing the point. I'm not here to say we should be on wooden benches that pinch your rear end when you sit down, because I grew up on some of them. Y'all young folk don't know what that's like. Anybody ever been in a wooden church bench that you sat down? If you're not careful, the little crack in it will pinch you. There wasn't any padding. Forget it. You came for Jesus because you loved him, not to make you comfortable. That's kind of what I'm talking about. I know a man that I highly respect that just now left America because he can't take the American church anymore, and he's going to a country where people are hungry. I believe that God is preparing you for revival. You may go, what? I believe that God is preparing you as an evangelist for Tuscaloosa. Not Daystar. We're part of it, but this is just what I do on Sunday. Or I would be sitting and listening to you speak, and hopefully you would be anointed and speak the word of God out of prayer. That we've made church. We've made the church. I know we didn't do it intentionally. I'll explain more. Are you getting something out of this? What's God's original purpose of the church? You'll see it on the screen. And there's much more, much, much more I could say. The original purpose and ultimate goal of God for mankind is to establish his heavenly kingdom on earth through his sons. Yes, through his son Jesus, but now we are. No longer do angels announce the good news. We bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born. No longer do angels announce the good news. They don't have this job anymore. We do. We are to announce. We are now, and this is not a gender thing, we are all sons of God. To establish his, look at it, his heavenly kingdom on earth through his sons, us, we, the church. Many see church as optional. We have people, Lord help me, I want to speak with much love, but it's time for somebody to speak. And I'm not afraid to do it. We have people that come to Daystar once a month. You know, I'll come when it fits my schedule. I will come when it's convenient for, you know, the new Trinity. The real Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But somewhere we swapped out with me, myself, and I. So many people are being ruled by the wrong Trinity. They're ruled by me, myself, and I. They have a Christian bracelet on. They go to church in Alabama every Sunday. Or when it fits their schedule and it's convenient. When I read the New Testament church, if you want to get down to it, they win every day. Well, Pastor, we live in a different world. I can have that discussion. I can meet you on certain grounds. See, I'm so thankful. The other day, I walked into for I took Christy to breakfast, Pastor Christy to breakfast, and there was a family in another broken egg that I talked to, the Thomases, and we began to talk to them and get to know them. They've been coming to Daystar and just loved on him, and they're a beautiful, amazing couple. I don't know if the Thomases are here today, but I looked at what was his first, yeah, Anthony. For Anthony, I don't know if you're in the house, but I looked at Anthony and I just said, man, I'm so proud you guys are coming to Daystar. Thank y'all. And, you know, if you ever have a chance, come to the 101. Have you ever been through the 101 with me that I do the first, you know, because that's really where you hear our heart and the heart for the house. And because I believe it's important where you belong to a church. You need to be careful that you belong to the right church. And he said, man, yeah, he said, I was there last Sunday. He said, now, I'm going to tell you, I work long, long days. And I don't know if he said 6 or 7 days a week. And 7 days a week. And he said, but I'm not missing church. I came to church last week when God broke out. And he said, right after, I had to work a 12-hour shift. And I stopped and I said, thank you. And they're not, please understand, you don't go to church for me. I'm thanking him on behalf of God as his pastor that he understands the priority of coming to church. And I saw the anointing on this couple. Saw the presence of God, and I believe they're sent to Daystar for a reason. And so I understand you, those that are my age and older, there used to be Sunday used to be, I mean, Saturdays and Sunday was even sacred. In a way, there wasn't as much working on Saturday if it was in the morning and that was it. But now people work 7 days a week. So for all of you that still come faithfully to church, even though you work long, long hours, can we give them a hand? And that's a hand from God. Because he understands our humanity. He understands the time that we live in is very different. People no longer respect Sundays. All these kids' soccer games and football games and everything on Sunday. And I'm just telling you, the problem with that is the church got silent and the world did what they wanted to do. And we let the world take over Sunday because we were more concerned about our son playing baseball and soccer and football than about keeping God's house priority. Had the church rose up and said, no, you're not touching Sundays, it wouldn't have happened. Church is not optional for a disciple. Some people treat church as outdated. Now, I kind of empathize with that. Because, and I am not being ugly, there are some places called churches that I would not want to go. Not because they don't give me what I want, but because it is stuck in the Old Testament. Doctrinally, and man is worship. The pastor is kissed more than Jesus. The bishop, the apostle, is worshiped more than Jesus. And can I tell you, God is leaving those places where he is not honored. God is not impressed with me and how much theology I know. Just ask the Pharisees. They knew the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, by heart. They knew all of it, but they were whited sepulchers. They were white on the outside, but they were a tombstone in a graveyard on the inside. Somebody say, why church? So this younger generation, what I don't even get off on, I love the younger generation. I love my boys right here. I'm so glad to have you put, you guys, both of you guys in church. Jarius, I'm so, this younger generation have said, man, the church is so outdated. It doesn't relate to anybody. So I'll just connect with God at home. And so this whole movement has now started. Connect with God at home or even watch online. And I love all you that watch online. But I want you to be part of a house if you can. But when we see the church from God's perspective, I think we would stop, and I speak to all the leaders in this room. I think we would stop and go, wait a minute. Now, I honestly feel like the last few months we have been at Daystar going, what does God want? And God loves the church. God is about you and not just about me as the pastor. That's why at Daystar we've changed it up and stopped saying, hey, come and serve. We need some folk in the nursery. We need some folk in the children's church. We need some folks ushering and greeting. And we quit asking that, and we've started asking, what can we do for you in the sense of your calling? Now, I will tell you, if you're a member of a church, you should be serving. Oh, wow, 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 wow. You should not be SMOs, Sunday morning only. Well, I'm this age. I don't see retirement in the Bible. I do not see retirement in the Bible. And there's not even teenagers in the Bible. You will not find a teenager in the Bible. In fact, at the bar mitzvah, they became a man, which meant I can no longer answer for you as your daddy after 12. You got to answer for God yourself, so which means you better be living it. I believe the church has failed, Dalton, to see the beauty of God's creation called the church. I read it, and we can go back there, Ephesians 3, that, man, even the principalities and heavenly atmosphere of heaven and hell know about the church, but maybe the church doesn't even know what they are or their identity. Heavenly beings are shocked by God's church, while many on earth yawn at God's church. I get it. Like, I have a really big heart for the lost. Like, put me in a group with atheists, agnostic, universalists. I hang out with some people that are scientists. And that's what, you know, first of all, you can't separate God from science. But I, like, thrive. And that happens now more than ever for Christy and I to be sitting with people like that. How could Paul sit on Mars Hill and talk with Greek philosophers? They did not know God. How could he do that without getting into an argument? And Lord, thank God, you know, he's not on Facebook. Because I'm just going to unfriend you if you don't agree with me. Thank God Facebook was not around for the Apostle Paul, but he probably wouldn't. I'm handling it the way he would. He was able to sit with the wisest Greek philosophers that some of you study in school and talk about the things of God, and ultimately they would come to Christ. Because he realized, like I'm realizing, I don't get somebody saved. My role is not to get somebody saved. That is a wrong church mentality. We're going to go and get people saved. I don't get people saved. Last time I checked, people like good news. And when you hear good news and the bad news of this gets canceled, transformation happens. What time is it? So what church would Jesus attend? If Jesus came to Tuscaloosa, now I know you're automatically thinking about, when I say what church, you're thinking about names. First of all, let me say, Daystar is not perfect in any way, shape, or form. You know why? Because I'm in it and you're in it. But I believe the pattern of the word keeps us. That's why in our 101 new members class, I tell the new members, if this pastor ever gets away from the Bible, number one, love me enough to come tell me. And then if I don't stop, then you can leave. Because don't sit under a pastor that's not preaching the word of God. But what church would Jesus, because I don't believe that, first of all, I think Jesus would kind of laugh at that statement. Hey, Jesus, what church are you going to now? Y'all realize how dumb our Christian language is and what we've made it? Jesus, where are you going to church? In the Bible, in the New Testament, you don't read where you going to church. Even when Paul planted the churches, they wasn't like, where are you going to church? Because I think we think of church as this thing we do on Sunday. Church is what we do on Sunday. Can I tell you that is so wrong? I think we think what church would Jesus go to? He would probably give us his opinion about, well, I like this church because they do more of this music. I go to this church because I like what the pastor preaches. He preaches what I like. Or I go to this church because of the personality. I don't think God and Jesus is concerned about what we're concerned about. Am I boring y'all? I know this is different. I don't think Jesus is concerned about the kind of music a church does. His only thing is, am I lifted up? Is it focused on me or is it man-focused? Are people performing and screaming and hitting high notes and getting sweaty for everybody to clap and to shout for them? Come on now, you better preach it now. I'm all for that moment, but it better not be for the praise of man. That's the point I'm making. So I don't want any cards and letters from pastors either. I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. If it's bothering you, you're probably doing it. But we need to quit worshiping flesh. We need to quit. Have you heard the latest sermon series by Stephen Furtick or T.D. Jakes? OMG. I want to be able to get back. Have you been in prayer and been with God lately and showed up? OMG. I'd rather be in the room with God than Scott or T.D. or Stephen. Or Joyce Meyer or anybody. We are so caught up in everything called what we call the church and the accoutrements of the church that we're not even focused on what really is the church. Turn and ask somebody, why did you come this morning? I'd really love to take a survey right now and to get your answers. I've made it through a page and a half of 19 pages. This is bad. We're going to be preaching this till Jesus comes. Lord, what is going on? I tell you, it's just time for man to get rid of their agenda. It's time to quit telling God when to start and when to stop. It's time to quit doing jack-in-the-box church. Pop up, Jesus. Now, I got to go sin for the week, put you back down in the box till I wind you again next Sunday morning. God is not going to be put in a box. He's not going to be pimped. He's not going to be used like a paper plate of when we want him. But while I'm out here at the club, I need you just to hang out at home. I feel church attendance going up as I speak right now. Y'all don't understand. The enemy most likely will attack my mind, and that lady will have to minister to me tonight. Because when I go to preach a message like this, he will come at me in so many angles, especially when you deal with the weight of even the finances and everything that I deal with every week as a pastor. But I am determined. This building ain't mine. If the bank has to come and take it, and y'all just don't know, our financial elder board knows where we are, and I thank God for the giving, but I'm just telling you, I've made up my mind. If I have to preach in the sawdust. Fred Trick called me this week, one of our financial elders and elders, and he said, and he's helping rebuild the stage, his company. And he said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. We were behind the eight ball. We're not going to have the stage done, yada, 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 yada. He called me this week. You know what I told him? I said, Fred, really? And Dorinda came up and spoke last week. That's his wife that came up and gave that word. I said, I don't care if the stage is done or not. As long as Jesus is lifted up in this room. We got lights out right now that don't work, and that's why that's part of the renovation, because the building's 12 years old and things are happening. But you know what? I don't care if I have church in the dark, because he's the light. And all I care about is Jesus being in the church. Let me just tell you, even when it comes to finishing, and I'm wrapping up what God does, devils don't kill revivals. Your watch does. That thing right there is killing more revivals by saying, God, you got to show up between 11 and 12:15 or 10, 11:15, however long, sir. We have regulated God to some hour to 2 hours a week. And because mama and them went to church and we know it's what we should do, I don't want to do anything just because I should do it. In fact, the younger generation, that's the problem, but it's actually a good problem, is they won't be told what to do when it doesn't make sense. They want to know, why am I going to church? They're asking this series question. Why do I need to go to church on Sunday? Why do I need to do what my mother and grandmother done? And then I saw them fuss and fight like crazy, and nobody get healed, and nothing go right, and them murmuring and complaining, talking about the preacher while they ate Sunday dinner. And why do I want to be a part of that community when the bartender is much nicer at the bar to me, and my friends at the ball game and at the bar or wherever I go are much nicer than the church is? Y'all are staring at me like a cow looking at a new gate that was put in on a farm. Where'd that come from? That ain't never been there before. Well, I'm putting up new gates. Come on, somebody. I'm putting up new things. And I'm here to say, take off the lens of 2019 and the years before. It's a new year. It's a new lens. It's a 2020 vision. It's having a paradigm shift in what God is desiring to do. I'm going to stop. Turn the page. Beep. I'm going to stop. Page and a half out of 19. Where's my phone? Let me get my phone. I'm going to take a picture of some of these people's faces real quick. Hang on real quick. No. I thought about this morning. I got to go to my Facebook page. I made a post yesterday that I want to end with. I got to find it real quick. So give me a minute. Y'all go ahead and go to Facebook and share this message. I'm not getting a signal up in here. Hang on. The internet's been bad this morning. I'll do like the old church say, that's the devil. Y'all know when something goes wrong at church, we got to blame the devil every time. That's the devil. No, the internet's just not working. I'm going to read Pastor Christie's post first. She made a post. She said, I made a post this morning. Did you see it? I said, no, but I released it to my timeline. She read it to me on the way to church, and I said, I got to read that. So here's what she said, and we're done. Why do I go to church? I go because I have a deep relationship with Jesus outside of Sundays. And Sunday just happens to be the day that we all come together to worship the one true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one I adore and am so grateful that he gave his life for me and you on the cross. I never want to forget that beautiful story of love. I've been going to church. Y'all know that Pastor Christie is the longest standing attendee member of Daystar Church. She the oldest. Since she was 9 years old. We just need to put a plaque up somewhere and put it on the end of a chair and name it after you or something like that. We're going to name a new building after you. I've been going to church consistently every Sunday, except for a few, for over 35 to 40 years. I've experienced church hurt. There's been adultery I've seen, liars, meanness at church, jealousy, you name it. And even still, I never thought twice about whether I was going or not. I've also had my opinions of how we might have done church wrong at times, but still that didn't keep me from going. It's not about that. See, I don't go to church for people or whether they do church with the right motive, but I go for the one who saved me from my sin and gave me a new life. I go to church because it's an act of worship to my King. I go because the Bible tells me to not forsake the assembling of myself. Hebrews 10:25 in unity. I'm not who I would have been without Jesus, and I have to go praise him for rescuing me from the traps of the enemy. No one church is perfect, especially when I'm in it. Like what I said this morning. I just love Jesus, and that's why I go to church. Here's the post that I made, and I really am done, but this is for somebody here today, maybe even for a guest. Let me find it. And please hear this out. If you are having sex before marriage, go to church anyways. If you are addicted to prescription drugs or other types of drugs, go to church anyways. If you are wondering about your sexuality of being straight or gay, go to church anyways. If you have done unmentionable things that you're so ashamed of, go to church anyways. If you are bound by pornography, go to church anyways. If you have failed and been embarrassed by decisions that you have made, go to church anyways. If you can't stand church or church people, go to church. Somebody help me preach real good. Anyways, if you've been hurt at church or by the church, go to church anyways. As far as sin, even people who love Jesus sin at times, but understand we all need a Savior to forgive and free us. For we don't throw stones, we throw ropes. There's no need to be ashamed. So many in the four walls of Daystar aren't proud of their past, but we all realized it's about our future in Christ. You have to start somewhere. You have to start someday. Why not let this Sunday be day one? Go to church anyways. It just might be what changes your life. Not just church, but a church that preaches and teaches how a person's life can be transformed by God's grace and mercy, and give forgiveness for the past, strength for your present, and hope for the future through faith in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Go ahead and go to church anyways. Come on. You know, that's why, stand with me if you would. That's why I love the church. Why church? Why church? Because I've been some of those things. I could have added depression. And you just want to stay in bed and not talk to anybody. Go to church. You know why I say go to church and not go to, God bless a therapist, God bless all these people? Why I say go to the church? Because the safest place a person that's hurting or in need or has fallen in sin, the safest place they should be able to go is right here. I want to tell somebody, if you've failed in any of those things that I've listed, you're in the right place at the right time. You made it to the church, to the citadel, to Bethany, a place of healing. Because so many times the enemy will keep people from ever going back to church because the church has presented itself as something elite and perfect. We all need Jesus. And that's why I love the church. You know why I love the church? And I don't talk against the church or make jokes on Facebook? Because he loves the church. It's like making fun of somebody else's bride and wife. When we make fun of the church, we're making fun of Jesus, of God's bride, his wife. And I don't need God mad at me. I already got the devil. I don't need God mad at me at the same time. Who loves the church? And when I say that, just know it's not just a Sunday building. It's not a Sunday activity. But we're going to dive into the elements of the church next week. And I can't wait. Of what the elements of God's order. What did God intend for this thing called the church? And it's not just the church as in Daystar, the church. But what was God's intention for the church? Bow your heads with me.